Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. I am Elaine LaRoche. Our number here is 508-222-1320. I hear we're going to have some snow in the forecast. Tis the season, and we have Jim Corbin calling in at 7:35, and he will give us an update as to what's going to be happening Sunday into Monday. But there's so much going on, and my special guest this morning is going to be Bruce Calver, and he used to actually work here. And we're calling him right now, and we're going to be interviewing Bruce about his magic and how much magic he brings into the world and has been doing for quite some time. His dad actually was an assistant to Houdini. Imagine that. So, and he's been doing fantastic. He's got a stellar career, and we just can't wait to talk to him. And I am fascinated with magic. I know if you've ever seen a magic show or magic tricks, if you've ever been to a party where they've had a magician at the party, as I have, I mean, it's fascinating. I become a little kid all over again, and he certainly does bring in the magic. So I would like to introduce to you right now Bruce Calver. Good morning, and thank you so much for getting up with us this morning.
Good morning. How are you, Elaine?
I'm doing great. Oh, my goodness. It's just been so, gosh, the last time I seen you, you were doing a fundraising event for Frank O'Donnell.
I was. Well, wasn't everybody?
Well, I mean, seriously, that was the very first time that I actually seen you perform live. And I have to say, I was like 8 years old all over again. Fascinating, fascinating show. Everybody was just so engaged and everything. But I appreciate your time. I know you've been traveling all over. And so I'm glad that we're actually talking to you. But I have a few questions. And have a first cup of coffee on us, and because if you were here, I would have brought you coffee, but I just say, enjoy your first cup.
I just thank you very much. I thanks for having me. This is really nice. I haven't been on radio in a long time, and I just said to your producer, the person that just called me, I said, can you email me a list of all your listeners so I can refer to them by name? But at 7 o'clock this morning. But I totally understand. And I'll bet you have, because I know your personality, and I'll bet you have a devoted group of people who listen to your show. And congratulations.
Oh, thanks. I've been having a ball. Monday through Friday, you know, I work in an office and everything, and this gives me a great creative outlet and use my journalism skills and interview great people like yourself.
Well, that's really nice. You know, when I was on the radio, I got my first radio job, and radio was not my life, like probably not your life either. But right. I had been, like this show, I had been interviewed on various radio shows and TV shows around the country. And I was doing a show at a station in New Bedford. And when we finished, because I happen to be an expert on trivia, and don't play Trivial Pursuit with me, you'll lose, you
Ooh,
know?
And I like trivia, too.
Well, you know what ruined trivia was the internet, because people could look up things very quickly. But
right.
But I would do these trivia shows once in a while and mention it, and I was a guest on a show, and when I got off the show, they said, "Would you like your own show?" And I said, "Oh no, I'm a magician. This is what I do. I do magic shows around the world." I said, "I work all the time, except Sunday mornings I never work. And if you ever have an opening there, we could talk." And 3 weeks later, they moved their schedule around, and I became a radio talk show host for 18 years.
Wow.
Every Sunday morning.
No kidding. That's a fabulous. And I met you way back at WARA in Attleboro.
Way back.
Wow. Yeah. Way back. All right, my friend.
But,
yes,
yeah,
go ahead. Well, I wanted to jump in because I have these questions that all my audience and our fans at the Out and About Elaine with Elaine show is listening right now. But
do I need a number two pencil? That's all I want to know.
No.
Answer these questions. Okay,
no,
good.
You do not. This is a fun time. We have fun. We never sabotage, I guess. We appreciate you getting up with us so early. So we never do that. But I have to ask you, what's the difference between a magician and an illusionist?
Besides the spelling of the of the word?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because the surge of magic, everybody was known as a magician. And then the surge of magic when people like Doug Henning came to be. That was the big surge of magic in the mid 70s, and that a whole crop of new magicians suddenly appeared, and they all wanted to have long hair and jeans like Doug Henning and so forth. And they were doing birthday party shows, and they were doing Cub Scout banquets and things like that. But then there was a whole section of magicians that started doing big props and didn't do kids shows, but did, you know, theaters and toured and things like that. So they wanted to separate the two different types of magicians. So they came up with other names besides magician, because magician started to become a joke at that time. And so there were people, illusionists became known as the people who carried boxes, big boxes, and people jumping out of them. So a magician is a magician who does, at the time, mm-hmm. who did kids' parties, and an illusionist is somebody who carried a lot of equipment and had dancing girls. And then illusionist became a standard. So now you had these people called impossibilists and whatever else they can come up with. Now we go back to psychics who are fake.
Yeah.
So there you go. So the difference between magician and illusionist is a magician is somebody who could carry his act in a suitcase. An illusionist is someone who needs a big truck.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Hey, what is one of your favorite tricks to perform?
Oh, boy. You know, it's funny because I'm always asked, how many tricks do I know?
Oh.
And the truth of the matter is that there are only 15 possible magic tricks. That's it.
Hmm.
So there are 15 different ones. There's the dispute that there may be 17, but I'll go with 15. And when I say that, it's like appearance, vanish, levitation, color change, you know, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 15 different ones. And once you can master those 15 different effects, you're pretty much done. And then everything else is a variation of those 15 effects. So, yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a juggler. When a juggler physically, because of physics, can't juggle more than 9 balls. You can't do 10, you know?
Mm.
So once you hit 9, you're pretty much done. You've mastered it.
Mm-hmm.
So of the 15 tricks, then you have to say, well, what variation can I do that incorporates most of the 15 effects? So I am currently, and I'm always coming up with new tricks to do, new effects, new illusions. And I've come up with, and the best new tricks are the old tricks. You start doing research on some of the old stuff. And I will tell you, I have an entertainment background in my family. My grandfather was an assistant to Houdini. My grandmother danced with Rudolph Valentino in silent films. My mother was a singer who sang with Count Basie. And so I wanted to take these people of the past and honor them in some way, because this is my 50th year of performing magic.
Wow.
I wanted to do something special for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I created a magic illusion, and this is my favorite illusion now, where I tell the story of my family and their backgrounds, and I have a box, a little box about the size of a toaster, and I bring them back as ghosts.
What?
To honor them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's
pretty neat.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's about the size of half a milk crate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all see-through. There's nothing hidden. It's just an open frame of a box.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm telling the story, I put little mementos of them, like a rose for my grandmother and a deck of cards for my grandfather. And as I put them in the box, their ghost appears. And we talk. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I titled it "You're There."
Oh my God.
That's the magic illusion that I was doing at the Magic Castle in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my favorite right now.
Oh, my gosh.
My absolute favorite.
Yeah, and I noticed that you had a lot of reviews because we're Facebook friends, but I mean, oh, my God, that's really awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people, and it's funny, they're all asking me to videotape it and put it on Facebook and so forth. And the problem is, if you videotape it, you go, oh, it's just special effects, CGI.
Oh, you know, right. You don't want to
it doesn't look right.
Right.
It doesn't look right.
Right.
But when you go, when you see it live in person, you're blown away by it.
Oh, I can imagine. I hope to see it someday. My God.
I hope so. Yeah. 3 years in the making. 3 years in the making. It's, you know, you come up with an idea, and this illusion was originally supposed to be, I don't know if you care about how a magic trick is created.
But are you kidding? Of course I do.
So, about 5 years ago now, I had an idea of having this box, and it's all based on an old 1800s principle, 1865. And I said, you know, it would be kind of cool if I had this little animated rabbit inside this box. And I would do a card trick, and we'd have fun, and the rabbit would throw the cards out at me, and it would just be a, like a ghost of a rabbit, right?
Yes.
And I thought, oh, this is going to be fun. And I started working on it, and I thought, this is silly, because a lot of my act, as you know, I do very, very family-friendly humor.
Right.
I'm kind of humorous without being hysterically funny. And I said, I do enough humor in my act, and I was approaching 48 years of doing magic, and I said, you know, I need to do something better to talk about my career and stuff like that. And this is going nowhere, and I'm just going to forget it. So I scrapped it, and when I scrap a magic trick that I'm working on, I put it on top of my television in the living room so I could keep staring at it every day to figure out what I'm going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in fact, I'm looking over at my TV now, and there's three tricks sitting there. So I'm thinking about it, and then on my iPhone, I was listening to some music that I had, and a song came up, and it was a very depressing song from a Broadway actress who put out a vanity album, and it was a song that she had written. And I'm listening to it, and it's really about her husband who passed away, and she feels that he's still here in the room.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, although other people think I'm crazy, I still see you. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so she sang it very depressingly. And I listened to this song, and something clicked in my head, and I said, this is it. This is the song that I'm going to base this trick around, and I'm going to use this song. So I said to my wife, we're sitting in the car, and I said, hey, listen to this song. I think I'm going to use this for a trick.
Mm-hmm.
And so I play the song for her. Got tears in her eyes, and she says, that is the most depressing song I've ever heard in my life. So I said, no, it'll work. So my son, who happens to be in the music industry in Hollywood, he went to Berklee College of Music, and he's a music orchestrator. I said, no, we'll have Eric. He'll rearrange it, and it'll be, instead of depressing, it'll be uplifting and hopeful, and this is perfect. This is really perfect, and I'll get my grandmother in here, and I'll get my grandfather in here. And so you notice what's happening is it's not about how to do the trick; it's about how to present the trick, right?
Good point.
So only 15 tricks in the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I call my son and I say, I'm going to email you a song. I want you to listen to it. I think I'm going to use it in this new trick I'm working on. So I send him the email. And he writes back to me, or he calls me up, and he says, that's the most depressing song I've ever heard in my life. So then we discuss the song for about an hour and a half, and how I'd like it to be, and what I wanted to say, and so forth and so on. And he says, okay, I get the idea, and I think I can orchestrate, and I think I know the singer that can sing it, and so forth and so on. So about a month later, he sends me a track of what he thinks is right, and it's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Wow.
So,
no kidding.
So we're working on it. We're now 9 months into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I write a 10-page script. This is only for a 3.5-minute trick. I write a 10-page script of what I'm going to say, and then I cut that down to, you know, about a minute and a half of speaking. And then we practice and practice and practice, and we get it right. And then I start calling my magician friends around the world, because I don't want people in the United States to see it yet, because it's not a completed project.
Mm-hmm.
So I call my magician friends in New Zealand and England and France, and I'm Skyping with them, and I'm showing them my progress and what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And each step of the way, they're blown away by it. They have no idea how I'm doing it. They have no idea what it is. And they finally said, it's time. You got to do this somewhere. So I got a call from the Magic Castle, the world-famous Magic Castle in Hollywood.
Wow.
And this is a private club for magicians and their guests. You are invited there maybe once in your lifetime to perform. I've been there 6 times now.
Wow.
And they said, what are you doing? Because you have to put a list of tricks.
Yeah.
And I explained what the trick is. So I said to, they said, okay, let's give it a try. So I said to my wife, I said, Arlene, is this thing going to work? Or because you're 3 years into it now, trying to work it out.
Right.
And you wonder, is this a thing that people are going to care about, or is it going to be some? And she said, either they're just going to clap politely, or you're going to get standing ovations.
Wow.
And so I did this trick the first night and got a standing ovation. And I went,
wow,
oh, that's good.
That's
nice. Well, that's nice. 21 shows I did that week, and I got 18 standing ovations.
Oh, my God. That is phenomenal, Bruce. Wow.
So now it works.
Yeah.
It works. It's called You're There, and it can't be done in a big theater because you won't be able to see it. But in certain places, 100-seat theaters or something. So what I'm planning on doing, and I don't know if this is going to happen or not, I'm now putting together, this is like 4 years in the making, I'm planning to put together a one-man monologue show. It's not just a magic show, but it's a whole storyline for hopefully the Rhode Island Fringe Festival. We'll see what happens.
Oh, my God, that would be so great. Wow.
And I'll do that trick there. So we'll see what happens.
Right, right. All right, I have to get back.
That was a long answer.
Well, I'm skipping a commercial break because I want to continue because we only have till 7:30. No. I only have I'm timed out here, which is
okay.
I'm hoping to expand to 2 hours. This way I can interview a whole hour. But you've answered some of my questions. And but since you've done magic most of your life, are there some things that you would still like to learn in the world of magic?
Oh, there's always new things to learn. And you know, when you first start out, you want to do everything. You want to do kids tricks, and you want to do close up, and you want to do big illusions. And then as you get older, you focus and focus and focus. And now I'd like to go back to some of the magic tricks that I had learned in the 60s and 70s, which I don't do anymore, using a lot more sleight of hand. The reason is because My fingers are starting to get old. I'm starting to get arthritis and stuff. And I want to keep exercising them by doing sleight-of-hand magic. It's sort of like I find that most magicians are piano players because they use it for exercise.
That's a great idea. Wow. Now, have you ever gone to other magician shows like David Copperfield or Chris Angel shows at all?
Oh, I love it. I love going to those shows. And not so much to find out how, you know, when a magician, you know, people go, do you know how he does his tricks? That's not what's important. Here's the job of a magician. When you're a child, up to age 10, 11, 12, you have wonder, okay?
Mm.
The tooth fairy, the Santa Claus, magic, so forth. You have that wonder. Then as you get into your teens, the wonder disappears. Right.
Mm.
You find out what's behind the curtain, what the veil is, and you know who's been tricking you and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the job of a magician is to bring back the wonder for an hour.
Yes.
That's it. Bring back the wonder for an hour. It's not important how he does it. It's to bring you back to that time. So when I see somebody like Copperfield, who I've seen multiple times, when I see somebody like Matt Franco, Rhode Island's Matt Franco, who we are close. We are very good friends. As he was growing up, we were, you know, a lot of the magicians in Rhode Island were mentoring him and helping him out. So he's a terrific guy. We watch those shows not to see how it's done, but to say, oh, that's clever. Look at what he came up with,
mm-hmm.
you know? So we watch for the routine, the presentation, and enjoy it. Because as magicians, we know how all the tricks are done. Mm-hmm. We just want to get that wonder back. We want to be entertained. And so when I see Copperfield, or I used to see Doug Henning, or Matt Franco, or Penn and Teller, or you know all the performers that you see on Penn and Teller fool us now.
Oh my God! Yes.
They're incredible. And that show Penn and Teller is not to talk about did they fool them. That's not what it is. It's
no.
just to showcase the magicians that come up with some very clever ideas.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to see Penn and Teller twice up in Boston, and oh my God, unbelievable, thrilling show. But not as entertaining as yours, I have to say. So I want to...
I'll tell them when I see them.
All right,
you do
that.
It'll disturb the heck out of them.
I'm sure. And they can call me anytime at 7 a.m. my time, not California time, to talk about it. Listen, are you playing locally here that folks can see you perform?
It is so rare that I play locally that I can't,
I know,
because I'm traveling and I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But now this is so far ahead, you're never going to remember it. But June 3rd, this is how far they book it.
Okay.
June 3rd,
yep.
I will be at Ocean State Theater. And that's
okay.
in Warwick, Rhode Island. That's in Warwick. Not so far away. It's right over the border, and this is this is the fourth or fifth time I've done their theater. I do a family show. It's not a kids matinee because I don't. I work for kids, but I don't really work for kids.
Right.
I work for families and adults, as you saw.
Mm-hmm.
So, June 3rd, Ocean State Theater. If you go to oceanstatetheater.org, you'll see on the. Family Fun Festival, you'll see me in June 3rd.
Okay.
I think the tickets are like $10. It's not a lot.
Right.
And you'll really see a terrific family show. The adults will enjoy it on a different level. As you see, I perform the same thing, but on different levels.
Right.
So that the young kids like it, the older kids enjoy it, appreciate it. And the adults just bring back the wonder.
All right, well, you know what I'm going to do? I wrote it down so that I have a really great memory. So I'm going to have you back on in May to promote you and your show and everything.
Terrific.
Yeah, with 4 minutes left, what career advice would you give a newcomer coming into your business? Is it very competitive? Is it sharing? Is it competitive like comedians, you know, like stealing tricks or stealing, each other's
methodology? No, not at all.
Methodology?
It's very open.
Oh, it is.
It's very open. Very, very, very open. It's not, we welcome it. It's a great hobby for kids. If you want to become popular, it's a great hobby because as soon as you say magic, people are interested. So two things. If you're an adult and you're interested in magic, you want to go to MagicSam.com. That stands for Society of American Magicians.
Oh.
And MagicSam.com is an organization, like a fraternal organization, but they have a wonderful magazine, which I happen to write for, but they have a wonderful magazine that teaches magic. They have conventions, they have local chapters, which we call assemblies around the world, and in the Society of American Magicians, there is a wonderful youth organization called the SYM, Society of Young Magicians.
Wow.
So if you go to MagicSim.com, SYM, any kid can learn magic.
Wow.
It's very easy. Very easy.
Okay. And if someone wants to contact you for a booking, how do they get a hold of you?
BruceCalver.com.
Really?
BruceCalver.com. And then we defer you over to who needs to talk to you.
Right. I see. I've been up on your website and doing my research for you today. And I've seen all the different things, and I was really fascinated. But I can't let you go without telling you a Houdini fact that you probably don't even know. When I was living in North Attleboro, my family and I are from this area, and we moved to North Attleboro. I was doing I went back to college, actually, as a very older age. But I did research in history. One of my classes, I did some videotography, and I did the history of North Attleboro, some pockets, some different things. And one thing was I noticed that Houdini actually came to North Attleboro, and I can't remember what year, but he was locked in the cell because he was his claim to fame is I can get out of any jail and whatever. Mm-hmm. So North Attleboro Police Department challenged him, And he did. He broke out, and I was actually in that cell. And then they knocked down the building. Yeah, I was. It was a very old cell, and they renovated their the police department and moved. But I was standing in that same cell that Houdini, and that was their big thing. That was there. They had to show me that particular the history of, and I'll never forget it. And it was just really cool to be standing in the same place as Houdini. But I didn't disappear. But
wow,
yeah,
that's
so
cool.
Yeah, but he actually did a magic trick in North Attleboro.
That's wonderful. He used to do I know that he was locked in a cell in Providence because he couldn't pay his hotel bill, this being the earlier. Seriously. No,
really?
That's not a joke. Yeah,
oh, my God, Bruce.
So there you go. Lots more stories about Houdini, I'll tell you.
Oh, we'll have to have you back in May. I promise I will definitely reach. Well, we'll keep in touch anyway, but I'll certainly reach out. And but I want to thank you so much. I have so many more questions to ask you. I didn't even get through them all. But
sorry,
I just no, I didn't want to stop you because you're a fascinating individual, and I love magic. And the only trick I know is a small card trick where you put one card on top, one card on the bottom, and you know, you fan them out, and you have people pick out a card. With those particular cards, you put them in. It's a different suit, and yeah, I'll explain. Oh, well, you know that trick. It's very basic, but I fool people after they've had a few drinks, and it works every time.
I mean, you know, just what I need, more competition.
No, trust me. I won't quit my day job, and I love what I'm doing here on Saturday. You have nothing to fear. Trust me. But I will reach out to you before. In May, we'll have you on, and we'll promote your June 3rd event at Ocean State Theater, which is great. So I want to wish you and Arlene a very, very happy holiday season. Merry Christmas to you both and your family, Eric. And I actually work with someone who Eric actually taught music to.
Is that right?
Yeah, his name is Chris Enriquez, and he wanted to reach out and do a shout-out to Eric, and he said that he was a great teacher and a great guy, and he knows him, and they're Facebook friends, and I said, oh, I'm going to talk to his dad tomorrow. So, yeah. All right, my friend, I got to run and take a break, but you take good care, and again, Merry Christmas to you and Arlene and your wonderful family, and thanks again for coming on. We'll have you back on in May.
Thanks so much. Watch me disappear now.
Okay, take care. All right, bye-bye. There goes, bye. All right, there goes Bruce Galvin. And we're going to take a quick break. And on our flip side, we're going to have our own meteorologist, Jim Corbin, telling us about the snow. So enjoy.
Arts Museum is showing its annual members exhibition from December 9th to February 2nd with an opening reception on December 10th from 2 to 4 p.m. Over 350 works of art by the museum's member artists will be exhibited in the Altmar Gallery. Guest juror Judith Klein of Judith Klein Art Gallery in New Bedford will judge the work and award outstanding artists at the opening reception. The reception and the entire run of the exhibit is free and open to the public. Gallery hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Hi. This is Bob Giammarco of Sentinel Safe Floors in North Attleboro. Slip and falls are the number one cause of accidents in hotels, restaurants, and public buildings, resulting in over $70 billion in annual medical costs and compensation, and leaving over 300,000 people with disabling injuries every year. Servicing both residential and business clients, Sentinel Safe Floors uses nano-grip technology to protect your loved ones, guests, and employees by making floors slip-resistant and safe. To learn more, please visit our website at www.sentinelsafefloors.com. We don't install floors, we make them safer.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now Mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
On February 4th at 7:30 p.m. at Goff Memorial Hall in Rehoboth, the Rehoboth Antiquarian Society will hold their third concert in the 2016 season of the Rehoboth Arts in the Village series. Sarasa, a duo consisting of cellist Timothy Merton and Jennifer Morshies, will perform pieces composed for famous kings, queens, and dukes. With harpsichord accompaniment, the cellists will perform works by Bach, Handel, and Vivaldi. For information about the concert series, call the Antiquarian Society at 508-463-5384 or visit carpentermuseum.org.
It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you
I think
meet.
That we definitely will have some snow. Jim Corbin will be calling in and letting us know just how much we have coming on Sunday into Monday. But 'tis the season. You know, I can actually now listen to Christmas music. I mean, every time there's one station that plays Christmas songs, I can't listen to that station until maybe the second week of December, because then it really feels like that. I mean, I got my Christmas tree last week. From the Boy Scouts of America down in Attleboro, across from the Literacy Center. They're selling their Christmas trees. And I always like to support them, and my twin sons were Boy Scouts, and so I got my tree there. And I have to say, it looks really darn good this year. It's one of the best trees ever. So anyway, how are you doing with your Christmas shopping? And are you all done? Are you just starting out? Do you go online to shop, as so many people have done? And Amazon.com is just making a fortune with free shipping and getting us our packages and on time. So anyway, you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. Our telephone number is 508-222-1320. If you played the lottery, I want to wish you the very best, and I'll give you my number later so you can share the wealth. Mass daily number is 2747. The Rhode Island daily number is 0190. Mass Cash, 1-17-21-27-29. Mega Millions, 19-27-47-67-68. The Mega Ball is 1 and the Mega Plier is 5. Man, if you hit this, you deserve all the money, because it is a hard combination of numbers and everything. Speaking of weather, we have our own meteorologist Jim Corbin. Good morning, Jim. Tell me something
Hello.
Good about this wonderful weather we're going to have. Woohoo! I can't wait.
Yeah, get into the holiday spirit with the cold weather today and a little bit of snow on Sunday night. Doesn't look like a lot of snow, but it does look like obviously the most we've had so far this season. You know, you were talking about just a minute ago, and I'll get to the forecast in a second, about, you know, getting stuff online instead mm-hmm. of going to stores. But it seems to me over the last like 2 or 3 years, you got to be careful of people stealing, going up to people's houses if it's left on the doorstep or whatever, and just people going off stealing boxes of presents. And terrible.
Wow. Yeah, that
have
is
you noticed,
crazy.
Have you noticed that? Seen it on the news? I mean, it seems like every other day recently, there's video of people stealing
packages,
you know, boxes.
Yeah, that's really...
That's the only negative that I can come up with for, you know, getting... And I've done it. I mean, you know, as well as going to stores, but I've, mm-hmm. you know, got stuff on, you know, online, not necessarily just presents, but stuff for myself or whatever. And you got to be careful. You got to either know that you're going to be home when they deliver it, or sometimes you have to just pick it up at the facility instead of having, because there are people out there so desperate for money for obvious reasons these days. And they're stealing these things and then selling them off and getting money for them.
Wow, that's interesting. What I do, I'm very fortunate, and 90% of the people that I work with, they send it to their work address.
Yeah, that's...
And
I've
so,
done, I did
yeah.
that. Yeah, when I was mm-hmm. at Channel 6, I actually did that because I knew it was a very expensive thing. And I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to take a chance that if I'm gone for a few hours at work, So have it sent right to there, and where there's always someone, to be having to let you in or whatever, you know?
Right. Yeah, and then it's safe and everything. But I get you. I know what you're saying. I know. I talked to the UPS guy. He always comes up on the elevator with all these boxes. One guy ordered 18 things from Amazon.com and told me that they were all coming in. And I think like 12 of them came in on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And I just called them and I said, here you go. They're here. But it does make a difference, I think, when you're ordering online versus, you know, like I like to go into a store and select something for somebody that I was thinking about and personalizing it type of thing to me.
Yeah.
But then there are other things like specialty things. Like my granddaughters, I just recently, as a last minute gift, they have personalized books with their names in them throughout the stories. So, you know, I put in a dedication, a personal message to each of my granddaughters. So years from now, you know, even when I'm not here anymore, they can say, oh, yeah, Grammy Lane got me this book, you know. But I said to both of them, let's read this together, and we will, you know, because I like to create those special moments in that. So
it personalizes it and everything.
Sure does. So how are you doing on your Christmas shopping?
I've done some, certainly not finished at all, but, you know, I like to sort of, you know, little by little, you know. I know some people just do all in one day or whatever, you know. But, we're going to try to get the spirit going with today's cold. Matter of fact, the last time, Elaine, that it was this cold in the morning and we're high this afternoon, only about 28, 29, was back on March 5th. I looked that up. Our weather observer out of Norton had information on that. March 5th, so over 9 months, as I like to call it, been a while weather. The last time it was this cold. And again, we're not talking brutally cold, certainly, not like mid-January, but it's been a little over 9 months. But it's going to be bright and sunny today, just a few of those scattered cumulus clouds, just delightful. Clear tonight. If you have plans this evening, no problems. Just certainly you want to bundle up. It'll quickly fall. And I don't know if you saw the moon last night, but you'll see it definitely tonight. The waxing gibbous moon, it's going to be the full cold moon next Tuesday.
Oh.
And I think by Tuesday we have a chance of seeing it because that's the next decent day coming up. Because tomorrow we're going to have sun early, so it's going to be almost like it is right now, tomorrow morning. However, unlike today, the clouds are going to start thickening up later in the morning and the afternoon. But it should stay dry for the daylight hours tomorrow. High temperatures eventually getting about 32 degrees. Not much wind, though, so really not that bad tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Then tomorrow night we're going to get into a period of light snow. I would say after about 8 or 9 o'clock. So I think for most of the day, if you have early evening plans or you have to be out and about, early tomorrow evening should stay essentially dry, but the light snow will move in and it will continue all night off and on. Fortunately, it's not a strong low pressure area that's going to affect us, at least initially. So I'm expecting up to 2 inches of snow by sometime early Monday morning. The Monday morning commute could be a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
More snow, I think, than what we had the other day. Remember, we had last week we had a little coating of snow and then, of course, melted off hours later. This time, it looks like we're going to go over to a little bit of periodic rain on Monday. So kind of a sloppy situation on Monday. Again, no strong winds or anything, no heavy rain, but just kind of a raw, cold day, a high of about 40 on Monday. So kind of turning a little slushy underfoot as we go into Monday afternoon. Of course, the Patriots playing Monday evening against Baltimore, Gillette Stadium. It's going to probably be a damp situation, cold and raw, but I think most of the precipitation will be over with. And then Tuesday is the next decent day, mostly sunny, high temperatures around 40. We have another chance at a little bit of snow by late Wednesday night. And then the story late next week, Elaine, is another shot of cold air. In fact, colder, I think, than what we are having today and tonight, tomorrow. So certainly winter is here. Now, of course, the story is, as we are now, 2 weeks away? 2 weeks from today is Christmas Eve. Can you believe that?
God.
You know, 2 weeks from today. Christmas Eve, of course, on a Saturday, Christmas Day, a Sunday. I can go out just about to the end, and right now, on Monday, with Dom and Paul, I'll have my outlook, what I think, a better outlook on the Christmas forecast, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and around that time.
Right
now, I'll end on this. It looks like it's not going to be as warm as it was on recent holidays with Christmas and Christmas Eve, when, remember, we had temperatures near 60.
Yes.
Whether there'll be snow on Christmas or snow on the ground is still up in the air. I don't see any major storms to cause a lot of snow between now and Christmas, 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a minor event, there is potential for at least some of it to stay on the ground. So if I had to say right now on this date, December 10th, 2 weeks before Christmas Eve, I would say there's probably a 50-50 chance that maybe there'll be some small amount of snow on the ground, but it probably won't be snowing on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Ah, okay. So
that's what I would say right now.
Right. It looks like Sunday would be a good time to make lasagna, and I have to do a cookie swap and make eight dozen cookies on Sunday. So that I'll be inside.
Oh,
shaking and baking all day. But I love stuff like that because it just brings the holiday more real. But and so I think people should be aware that the storm is coming, but also be aware when you're driving, just take your time.
Yeah, again, it has a better chance of accumulating at night. This would be tomorrow night. And so I'd say roughly at this point, anytime, 7, 8 o'clock through most of tomorrow night, there'll be some light snow falling. But again, it doesn't look like much, but it certainly has the potential to be the most we've had so far this season, which, isn't saying much. But the early morning Monday commute may be a little slow because of some of that light snow turning over to rain, making it kind of a sloppy early morning on Monday. But again, a better weather on Tuesday. So That's the way it looks right now.
All right, that sounds wonderful. And also, if I didn't extend the invitation, I'd like to have you in studio on Saturday, December 31st, if you can come into the studio. I have Richard Lunt is coming, Tom Raff. I talked to Tom Raff the other day, and his messages to me, he is just so hysterically funny. He says to me, like, in his messages, is, oh, yes, you're out and about, and I'm at work, so I can't pick up. So he leaves these broad messages that make me laugh. Oh, my God. He said, oh, yes, and now she must be at her winery in France, and now she's coming to California, and then she's going here. And he's so funny. He's so funny. And he's just such a great guy.
No, I'd like to join
wonderful.
You and him. And
yeah,
Richard,
you can do it live. Yes, and it'll be our last show of the year, so I figure we'll just have a nice celebration and thank you, and then we go into 2017 with a whole new perspective and shows and more interesting guests, and you certainly have made my show it enhances it so much. Your forecast on a Saturday means a lot to a lot of people because people work Monday through Fridays, but they're home on Saturday, and they don't know what's going on the weekend, so they put us on when they go to all these arts and craft fairs. They're just doing Saturday errands, I call them. So I sincerely appreciate you calling
in. Oh, no problem.
And everything.
I'm up early most days every day, so but I enjoy it. And again, if you have plans this weekend, you don't want to worry about snow. Really, right through tomorrow afternoon, the weather should be fine. Just cold, certainly, but dry. But maybe if you have to take a trip and you don't want to be driving in snow tomorrow night, maybe either leave early or wait until Monday. Overall, again, it's really not that bad weather. Today, although cold, it's going to be nice and bright, and we'll have that big almost full moon tonight.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate your forecast. And have a good week. Right. Stay warm and drive safe.
I will. You too.
Thank you.
See you later, Mike.
Bye, Jim.
Bye.
All right. Take care. All right. There goes Jim Corbin. And we're heading off to our last commercial break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "because I said so," or "don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is the result of one family's journey to find answers for their autistic child. Founded by a small group of parents in 1971, Amigo has grown to include more than 30 residential homes, a fully accredited school, and applied behavioral analysis in homes, schools, and daycares. Amigo touches the lives of over 300 families in Massachusetts, offering services and programs for both children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other developmental disabilities. For more information, please visit their website at www.amigoinc.org.
Popular historian and speaker Dr. Gary Highlander will be back this December at Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro for a three-part series on John Marshall and the Supreme Court. The series will take place on three consecutive Thursdays, December 1st, 8th, and 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. Justice John Marshall was the longest-serving Chief Justice and a member of the court for over 30 years. Many of his decisions are still having an effect today. Dr. Highlander's talks are popular and fill up fast, so register early. To register, email mholmes@salesinc.org.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop.
Good morning, everyone, and this is our last few minutes with each other before I head on out and have breakfast with my sister, Diane, and she's up here from Florida, and I have to laugh if you're listening to Diane, because she's got that Florida mentality. She's lived in West Warwick all her life, and then she goes to Florida for a year, and this, Mike, you can come on the conversation here. She thinks that it's freezingly cold and her blood thinned because she lives in Florida.
What do they have for Christmas over there? They have they decorate palm trees.
And that's about right. Yes, that's about right. You know, or a Charlie Brown tree or something. I don't know. I'll find out later.
Dashing through the sand.
The golf course.
And the one open golf course. All the holes we go.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Listen, guys, I know we have probably about 10 more minutes to the show, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about what's happening in the area because there are so much stuff. We did play John Lennon because on December 8th, it would have been 36 years that he was assassinated. Imagine that, 36 years. And I grew up with the Beatles, and he was one of my favorites, and Paul was too. But I just wanted to give tribute to John Lennon. And on my Facebook page, there was a morphing pictures of him as a baby up to his time of his death, and it was just incredible. So much so that I reposted again. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I just couldn't help myself. So there. All right.
Why aren't you supposed to do that?
Well, because people look at it and they go, what is she doing? You know, it's redundant, I guess. But anyway, I don't know. But let's get to the things because we have a lot of things going on, and I'll get right to it. La Salette Shrine, again, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. It keeps going all the way through. So if you haven't had a chance to block my street as you go through La Salette on 123, check out those spectacular lights. It gets bigger and better all the time. And if you want to see Santa Claus, he is in North Attleboro, and he is going to be at the gazebo. And that's tomorrow from 1 to 2:30, and it's going to take place. Oh, my gosh. There's going to be a North Attleboro 10th anniversary celebration. Families will get a commemorative keepsake ornament, and every child will receive a candy cane. And Santa Claus, you can get a picture with him. And so I guess North TV is celebrating their 10th anniversary, and they're commemorating that, and also with Santa Claus. So, want to make sure you see that. If you want to have some fun, our own local act pageant is bringing out the best in the community. So, the best Christmas pageant ever continues for the next couple of weeks at the Bates Masonic Lodge at 71 North Main Street. That's right next to the YMCA. Showtimes are 8 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. Sorry, if you're there at 2 a.m., forget it. It's all good. So tickets and more information, you can call the box office at 508-226-8100. So those are some of the local things. I wanted to give you a trivia fact, because I love trivia like Bruce Calvert. But, I mean, I am a wealth of useless information, and I really am. But when I seen this, I said, oh, I got to add this. So in Attleboro, there are over 800 streets, which lay over 285 miles of road to plow. I just found that fascinating.
Wow.
And that fact was given to me by the newspapers in the Sun Chronicle, George Rhodes. So, George, thanks for putting that in there for somebody who's a geek like me, who likes those interesting, useless information. My good friend, Greg Abate, and Dan Moretti is going to be playing at the East Greenwich High School Jazz Band. They're going to be playing with them at the Odeon Theater in East Greenwich. That's right next to you, Mike.
Yep.
So proceeds is going to the East Greenwich High School Music Program, and the show starts at 8 p.m. tonight. Tickets are only $20, and you get a chance to help them out. So if you're out and about and need to want to just kind of like chill out, I should say, Greg Abate is awesome, and you'll see my good friend Carrie.
It's easy
too.
To chill out. Just go outside.
That's true. Another one, another fundraising event is really, really important. It's Anti-Claus 2, a dysfunctional family sequel. The Academy Players are going to be at the Buttonhole Golf Course in Providence, Rhode Island. They're putting on a play tonight. They've been doing this for the last couple of weekends, and I believe it ends tomorrow. It's a holiday it's a holiday fair with a lot of zany characters, and it's directed by our local comedian, Frank O'Donnell. Tonight's performance is at 7:30 and Sunday's at 2 p.m. And unfortunately, it does close on Sunday, so the last performance is at 2 p.m. So, it's just a really fun thing. Frank writes one up every year. He has local TV celebrities participating. He writes in a little segment for them. And my daughter Kelly is going to be on tonight. So Barbara Morse was on, I believe, last night. So if you have a chance to see it, it's really great. At the theater, there's a couple of movies. Office Christmas Party with Jennifer Aniston is supposed to be really funny. Bleed for This is Vinnie Pazienza's life story. And a particular portion of his fight. He was 5-time champion. And was severely injured in a automobile accident. And you have to see it. I won't give it away, but it's a really amazing story. And Manchester by the Sea just opened this weekend, too. So those are some of the things that are going to be coming up. So if you haven't gotten out, there's a ton of fairs and everything. I'm not going to read any of them because I figure what I'm going to do is there's like about 50 of them. And I think that, if you go to the malls and you go by any church in North Attleboro and Attleboro today, you probably will hit a fair. And why go to one of those fairs? I love going there. I went to Briggs. I have to tell you, last week I did hit that holiday fair, and it was stock-packed with a ton of vendors there at Briggs Nursery off of Kelly Boulevard. So I was able to get some unique Christmas presents, and it was pretty good.
I got something to tell you about.
What's that?
Over at Solid Rock Church, located at 1753 Phoenix Avenue in Cranston, they have the live outdoor nativity play that takes place on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this upcoming week.
Oh.
And you can watch the whole thing from your car, and it's a new play every 21 minutes, and you can actually, after you're done watching the play, you could go inside for hot chocolate.
No kidding.
Yep.
Now, are you going to be in it?
I'm going to run the lights for it.
Are you?
Yep.
That's great. What a great theme. I know that some houses, especially in Warwick, you drive up and you put your radio on a certain AM station, and you can hear the music that's synced to the lights. That light show, it's always fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is, and we'll talk after the show. But anyway, folks, as we almost wrap up our show here today, I'd like to thank you all for listening. And my goodness, Bruce Galli, you are like one of the best interviews I've had this year, I have to say. I had like 9 more questions I could have asked you, but another time, and I definitely will make sure that we have you on in May for your June performance at the Ocean State Theater there in Warwick, and I know exactly where that is. I'd like to thank Mike Catanzaro, who gets up every Saturday morning and produces my show, runs the music, and helps me get on time, and also our meteorologist, Jim Corbin. I couldn't do the show without you. I really appreciate it. And Tom Rafferty and Richard Lund, thank you for coming on. And Tom, also, I really appreciate your voice messages. They are very hysterically funny. So folks, from us here on 1320 WARA 1320, want to remind you that Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. Our show, Out and About with Elaine, will be live next Saturday from 7 to 8 a.m., followed by Dave Kane from 9 to noon. So from all of us here at WARA 1320, make it a great week and meet me back here next Saturday.
prospero año.